I'm not sure it should be. The reason I think we shouldn't be putting so much emphasis on feed efficiency right now is the status of the approaches being used and the problems with those approaches. And then another thing I'd like to talk about today is really what relationship feed efficiency has with cow efficiency, when feed efficiency primarily looks at weight gain as an output. So if you're an RFI proponent, you can either leave now or go get the rope to hang me, because you're probably not going to like what I say. Nobody's getting a rope? Okay, I'll stick around. Here's four ways that have been used commonly to express feed efficiency. The first two are two ratios. I've heard a little bit about ratios in the talks today and yesterday. But the first one, feed conversion, is pounds consumed per pound gain. The gain to feed ratio is just the opposite, pounds gained per pound consumed. The next method, residual feed intake. And another method down there that should be getting more probably attention that hasn't is residual gain. So as I go through some examples of these, keep in mind and ask yourself, are these good? Here's some feed intake data from some heifers that we've been rearing up at Fort Keel. And basically, this is kind of what most efficiency data would look like, maybe a little cleaner in most studies, but you have some level of input down here in the bottom. And in this particular example, we've standardized this to a dry matter basis. So this is dry matter intake on pounds per day and output in average daily gain pounds per day. And you know this line here then kind of represents the average gain per pound of input across the scale that these animals exhibit. So the first example of ratios, I'm going to show two animals here that have very similar gain to feed or feed to gain ratios. So both animals shown covered up with this red circle have these feed efficiency ratios. And I'm pretty sure everybody out in this audience would say that even though those two animals have the same number, they don't really consider them to be similar in desirability. And most people that have anything to do with feedlots probably don't want anything to do with that animal anyhow. So here's one problem with the feed efficiency data. Anytime we try to use one number to demonstrate a relationship between two different traits, it usually doesn't work very well. Let's talk a little bit about residual gain. Residual gain, basically, in a very simplistic way to look at it, is if the animal's above this line, they're more efficient than if they're below this line at any given point of intake. It's a little more complex than that because they standardize it to a common feed intake. But what we can say then, the average level of feed intake on these animals during this study is kind of bracketed by this red square. And, you know, if we adjusted all the animals to a similar level of intake, those with a positive residual gain would have gained above average for that level of intake. Those with a negative number for residual gain would be below average. And the magnitude of that number is how far off away from average they are. So let's look at the two animals we just highlighted on the previous slide. And now we see that at least with residual gain, this one's classified as inefficient and this one as efficient. Two more animals lit up here or got covered up. This is to point out another limitation with some of the feed intake data. This animal here is actually the most efficient animal in this group, and this one's the least efficient based on residual gain. And if you look at these raw data, you would say, oh, I don't understand how that works. And the key there is these are raw data collected over several years for heifers. And when we take out the noise, which is shown here, then these two animals rise to the top and bottom. And one of the limitations in industry today is most of the feed intake data is done on an individual trial basis, and you really can't make comparisons across studies or even across feeding trials at the same location. And that I've tried to point out by the fact that these two animals really don't appear like they should be the top and bottom in the group. So in contrast to many of the other traits where we standardize some of the known sources of variation, that's not really happening very well for feed efficiency trials being conducted in the country at this time. This is the feed efficiency when using a residual feed intake scale. And basically, what you need to realize is we flip these two axes around. And that's a primary problem in my mind with feed residual feed intake is it actually looks at things backwards. Biologically, we usually put the factor having the effect down here and the one response variable over here, and residual feed intake actually looks at that backwards, and it says at a given level of gain, do the animals eat more or less than average? So in this case, a negative number is more desirable and a positive number is less desirable. Now we flip these animals around, but this number here is the animal that used to be over here in the two previous slides, and this number here is the one that was in this area on the previous slide. So now I've shown you two animals, evaluated with four different approaches. Two of them which says they're equal. One of them says this one's efficient for residual gain. This one says it's inefficient by residual feed intake, and the opposite down here. So what kind of progress are we going to make with that type of information? Okay, just again to show you there's limitations here. This is the least efficient, and this is the most efficient by RFI. Nowhere close to the other two animals I showed you in the previous slide. Here is something that really scares me about RFI. RFI is strongly correlated with how much an animal eats. Every animal below on the bottom half of this graph is characterized as above average for efficiency by RFI. I'm pretty sure anybody in here that has anything to do with the feedlot doesn't want very many of these efficient animals down here that aren't going to eat. And so if you're going to look at RFI data, I think you need to keep in mind that you need to realize as a slaughter animal or market animal, you have to have an endpoint. These animals aren't going to reach that endpoint very fast. And when you look at total feed put into them, it's going to be pretty high because they're going to spend a lot of feed for maintenance energy. Okay, here's kind of the kicker. Same data. Now we just looked at animals plotted by residual gain here and residual feed intake, realizing that everything on this side of the graph is considered efficient by residual gain, everything on this side inefficient by residual gain. The top half is inefficient by residual feed intake. The bottom half is efficient by residual feed intake. So a quarter of the animals are assigned the same characterization of efficiency down here as efficient by both protocols, and a quarter assigned as not efficient by both protocols. Half the animals are switched. So there again, I just don't see that we're going to make much progress in the right direction using these approaches. And I think this kind of boils down to problems with trying to use one number to account for variation in two traits. Matt mentioned selection indexes or multiple traits, selection processes. We already have those methods in place.